Well, I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we take up the fifth commandment. And if you have followed the Ten Commandments at all, you'll know that the first tablet of the commandments, the first four commandments, have to do with our relationship with God. We now begin the second half, the second tablet, which is the final six commandments, which have to do with the relationship that human beings have with one another. And we begin with the building block of human flourishing, the family. Honor your father and your mother. Exodus chapter 20, we'll read verses 1 through 12 together. And if you are in the habit of memorizing this along with me, then feel free to say it out loud with me, okay? Because you'll encourage me. I'm stumbling along. It's interesting when you memorize something that you think you have it well until you try to say it in front of people. And then you don't have it nearly as well as you thought you did, and that's true for me. Let's stand together, and if you see someone alongside you that doesn't have a copy of the Bible, would you share yours with them? If you don't have a Bible, stop by our Welcome Center today and pick one up. We give them away free of charge. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 12. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall work, labor, and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Please be seated. Now, typically when we think about honoring father and mother, you're thinking about, oh, good, this is going to be a great sermon for my kids. I hope they listen up. But I'm going to actually spend very little time on what it means as a child to honor one's father and mother. Rather, I want to think about this as the command that's true of all of life. Okay? It's true of all of life. And there are a number of things that have been put in our way in our culture as we have distanced ourselves from the Judeo-Christian ethic. There are a number of things that have distanced ourselves from even being figuring out what this command even is supposed to mean. So I'm going to talk at the beginning somewhat at length. That's why it's got a special slide, introduction, to talk about some assumptions that are in this command that we're not even following the assumptions of the command today. Okay, and so that's going to make it harder for us to figure out how to obey the command when we aren't even following the assumptions that underlie the command. I say these things in order to help you understand wherever you are at in terms of your relationship with your parents, messed up or not, or various degrees in between, to understand that we, by nature, are going to struggle with this, but particularly in our culture, we're going to struggle with this. And I want to offer to you at the outset the gospel as the hope. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the hope. Even though we're going to talk about some messy things right now, understand the gospel is the hope that gives us a reason for thinking that this command can actually be obeyed and we can flourish from it. Okay, so let's think about these assumptions. The command assumes that there is such a thing as authority and submission. It says the word, honor your father and your mother. The word honor comes from the word heavy, weightiness, glory, that there ought to be some weight given to an authority and submission structure. We're losing that as a culture. We don't really have an understanding of what it means to have authority and submission. Annie Gottlieb, who was a 1960s radical, wanted to have the world embrace socialism. In looking back on her work in the 1960s, she wrote this: "We might not have been able to tear down the state, but the family was closer. We could get our hands on it. And we believed that the family was the foundation of the state, as well as the collective state of mind. We truly believed that the family had to be torn apart to free love, which alone could heal the damage done when the atom was split to release energy. And the first step was to tear ourselves free from our parents." The command assumes that there is such a thing as authority and submission, and as a culture, we kind of are drifting from that idea. Secondly, the command assumes that there is a father and a mother. Honor your father, singular, and your mother, singular. Today, there are a lot of people who believe that human beings can flourish without both. Many people want to believe that human beings can flourish apart from the complementary nature of male and female parents. All kinds of science involving surrogacy and sperm and egg donations have furthered this fiction, allowing, for example, homosexual couples to believe that they can make a baby. The fictional world goes even further that I won't even go into, but I will tell this brief story of two fellows in Texas, Joe Riggs and Jason Hanna. They're homosexuals who went to Washington, D.C. because they had legalized homosexual marriage. They got married. They found a woman who would donate eggs. They each fertilized those eggs and put them in yet another woman who was a surrogate. Okay, pretty crazy. So here what we had was twins that were born. Joe was the father, biological father of one of them. Jason was the biological father of the other of them. The woman who gave birth was not biologically related to the children, but rather there was an egg donor. Let me ask you the question. In that world, of these real boys who live in Texas, what does it mean to them to honor your father and your mother? Who knows what the world of science will produce in the future? Francis Schaeffer said once that whatever autonomous man can do, he will do. The command assumes that there is a father and a mother. Thirdly, the command assumes the leadership of fatherhood. Honor your father and your mother. Father is placed first. Not much emphasis on the importance of fathers today, even though all the social science leans the other direction, right? Very clearly, better cognitive achievement, behavioral outcomes, adolescent psychological well-being, lower levels of behavioral problems, less likely to engage in delinquency, less likely to abuse substances, higher levels of education, et cetera, et cetera. Here's something that's really interesting. You know, evangelical Christians are concerned about being able to pass along their faith to their children. Do you know that the research is that a father, if he's walking with God, even if the mother is not a believer, the children will follow their dad's direction almost as much as if the father and mother were together on it. But if the mother is the one who is the spiritual dynamic in the family, and the dad really isn't that interested in spiritual things, it goes completely the other direction. Such is the power of the leadership of a man in the family. The command assumes the leadership of fatherhood. This important principle, I believe, is lost on many mothers. Moms, the best thing that you can do for your child, for your baby, is to bless their daddy and walk in unity with him. This command, fourthly, presumes one father and one mother. It says, honor your father and mother. Into this world of blended families in which people have multiple parents, that makes for great challenges in figuring out what it means to honor your father and your mother. This is a bit difficult because of scale. There's a whole bunch of people who have multiple, not just one or two fathers and mothers, but the step families multiply so that the scale gets really challenging. Then it's also true because of competition. Those various parents are competing for the child, even an adult child's affection, attention, time, energy, etc., which make it very difficult for that person to figure out what does it mean to honor father and mother. And then there is distance. Once families are broken up and there is this step-family syndrome that takes place, you can't stay in more than one place at one time. And so it makes for very difficult challenges for people to know how to honor your father and your mother. Lastly, the command presumes that father and the mother are joined together. Honor father and mother. Notice how each time I've emphasized a different word, right? Honor, your, father, father and mother, you see? We're, as a culture, we're adrift. But here's this word "and" is not an unimportant word. Single Americans make up more than half of the adult population for the first time since statistics have been kept on this subject. Single Americans make up more adults than married adults now. Did you know that? There are more single adults than there are married adults. That has great implications for even how the church does ministry, by the way. 40.7% of all children in our country are born out of wedlock. Children are now more likely to be in a home where people cohabit than in a home where there has been divorce. 24% of kids born to married parents will see their parents divorce or separate by age 12. But 42% of kids will experience a parental cohabitation by age 12. These are the challenges, the assumptions behind the command that we are ignoring that make it difficult when I address an audience of this size and say, honor your father and your mother. And people are coming from all these different kinds of situations and asking the question, but what does it mean for me to honor my father and my mother? So let's think about it and hope that God will give us grace for every circumstance. I'm going to do it by our age as we grow up. What does it mean to honor our parents as a child? What does it mean to honor parents as a child? That is, while we're in the home under our parents' direction and leadership. I can put it in one word. So, boys and girls, if you're listening, here's the word. Obey. Right? Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's the first verse I ever had my children memorized. before John 3:16, I wanted them to get Ephesians 6:1. This does not mean that you obey your parents if they tell you to do something wrong that violates God's righteous decrees. But in general, parents aren't asking children to do that. And so where they are not, you obey. And obedience means three things. You do it all. You do everything they ask. You do it now. You don't wait. And you do it with the right attitude of the heart. Do it all. Do it now. Do it with the right attitude of the heart. Now, we live in a world where Paul says perilous times are going to come. And in fact, one of the things that is going to be true of these perilous times is that children will increasingly be disobedient to their parents. So it's going to be hard, I know, for boys and girls to be able to obey their parents. You look at your friends and you go, well, they don't, blah, 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 right? And that makes you want to not honor your parents by obeying them. So know this. If you're a young person here in this room, there's only one way that you can have the power to obey your parents, the way the Bible is asking you to do it. The only way is for your life to be transformed by Jesus Christ. The only way that you can obey your parents is going to be by experiencing what the Bible calls the new birth. Being born again, asking Jesus to forgive you of your sin and to change your life from the inside out. That's the only way you have the power to do it. So you might say, as a boy or a girl today, well, I've done that. I still struggle with it. Where do I start? Now that I have the power to obey my parents, what is the step that I take first? And I'm going to give you a first step, okay? Are you ready for this? Never lie to your parents. Never lie. I just think that lying is that entryway into all kinds of problems. What it means is it puts a distance between you and your mother and your father when you deceive them. Now, I know it's easy to lie because, you know, we don't want to fess up. We don't want to face the music. But it's really important that you not lie. Here's why. How many times do you have to lie in order for someone not to trust you? Once. You lie once, and then they can't trust that what you're going to do is tell the truth. And you go, but Dad, that was last week that I lied. I'm not lying now. Well, your dad doesn't know that. You see? So the place to begin, if you're thinking, man, I've asked Jesus to be my Savior. I really want to walk with the Lord. Where is it that I begin? It begins by not lying to your parents so that they can help you with those other areas of challenge. Jesus did that in Luke chapter 2, verse 51. The Bible says that Jesus went down with Mary and Joseph and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Submissive to them. Think about it. Jesus was God, okay? Do you think there might have been a thing or two where he might have said, you know what, they're wrong and I'm right? And yet, he was submissive to his earthly parents, honoring parents as a child. Well, now, it's my belief that this command is very little about honoring parents as a child. I think it includes that, but I think it's talking more broadly. So let's think about how we honor our parents as adults. Now, we're all over the map here in this room with the kinds of parents that we have and the kinds of parents that we perceive we have. So what are some things that we could say generally that would be true of every person? Okay, here's one. Listen to your parents and speak kindly to them. Listen to your parents and speak kindly to them. Have you ever wondered why it is that your parents, you're an adult, and your parents say the same thing over and over and over to you? You ever wondered why that is? Is it that they're just stupid or that they're getting dementia or... No. I'll tell you why it is. It's because they don't think you've heard them. They don't think that you have heard them yet. Okay? So the way that you honor parents as an adult is to listen to them. Speak kindly to them. Repeat back what they've said. So you mean that you are telling me, and then say it. So they know, okay, they've heard me. This story is attributed to Mark Twain, although I'm not sure it's Twain. Twain was fond of saying, there are all kinds of stories told about me, and I accept them all, even if they aren't true, because they make me look good. But anyway, it's attributed to him. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he'd learned in 7 years. Honoring parents as an adult means that we listen and speak kindly to them. A second thing that we can do is we can welcome our parents into our world. Now, it might be that they might not take us up on it. This is particularly true for people who have parents that have never really, they've ignored them all their lives and they still ignore you. You know? But still, make the effort to welcome them into your world. It might be that they'll take too much advantage of it too. But try to do what you can to welcome them into your world. Think about this. Jesus had just done his first miracle, John chapter 2. Verse 11 says, and the disciples, this was the first miracle that Jesus did, and he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Now that's a pretty exciting thing for a man in his early 30s launching out into his ministry life, right? It's all kinds of excitement stuff. And the tendency for most men in their early 30s that find some career, you know, excitement and success for them to do what? Forget about everything else. I'm going after that, right? Listen to what the very next verse says. He revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. Next verse says, after this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. Honoring his parents. He's with his mom after this wonderful ministry, excess, dynamic stuff. He's going to welcome his mom into his world. Third thing we can do to honor parents as an adult is to recognize that how you ought to honor your parents and how they think you ought to honor them may be different. Okay? And this is important for us to understand. When I say honor your parents, I don't mean honor them the way they tell you should. I say you need to really get with the Lord and discern what it is that God wants you to do to honor them. Yes, listen, speak kindly, welcome them into your world, and after that it requires recognition that how you ought to honor them and how they think you ought to honor them might be different. Three examples from the life of Jesus where how the parents thought that Jesus should honor them and how Jesus actually did honor them were different. First one, John chapter 2, the miracle at Cana. Jesus is invited to a wedding. The mother of Jesus is there. The wine runs out. The mother of Jesus says to him, they have no wine. Jesus says to her, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. In other words, there was a difference in what Mary thought honor meant and what Jesus thought honor meant. We can spend time trying to interpret that section, but all I want to say is that there was a difference. Secondly, Luke chapter 2, verses 43 to 50. There's a feast in Jerusalem. They're coming back from the feast in Jerusalem. And Mary and Joseph look around, and Jesus, the adolescent Jesus, is nowhere to be found. And so they go back to Jerusalem, look for him. 3 days they took looking for him. They find him in the temple. He's sitting among the teachers, talking and asking them questions. They're amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents see him. They were astonished. His mother said to him, listen to this. This is a mom who's thinking that honor should be understood in one direction, and it's different. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Isn't that a good description of a mom who has an expectation of how honor should be? Why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? So sometimes how we ought to honor our parents and how they think we ought to honor them are different. A third example is in Jesus' life is Matthew 12, verses 46 to 50. While he was still speaking to the people, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. He replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." At this point in Jesus' life and ministry, the mom and his brothers were basically going, "Come on, Jesus, you're a little nuts. Let's take you back home and put you in a corner and set you straight." How Jesus ought to honor his mother and how she thought he ought to honor her was different. And lastly, as we think about honoring parents as an adult, we need to recognize that there are some things that are more important than relating to one's parents. There are some things that are more important than relating to one's parents. Again, three examples from the life of Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth, for I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother. A person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So there's some things that are more important than honoring one's parents, aren't there? Following Jesus as Lord. Mark chapter 10, Jesus says, "There is no one who has left house or brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions who will not receive 100-fold now, in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands, and in the age to come, eternal life." There are times where we leave father and mother for the sake of serving our King, Jesus. Third teaching from Jesus, Luke chapter 9, verse 59. Jesus said, "Follow me." But this man says, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Now, his father wasn't even close to dead, okay? You get the idea. He died. No, the father hadn't died. He's just like, "Let me take care of things in the family and all of that." And Jesus says, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. As for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." There are some things more important than relating to one's parents. In Jesus' mind, taking up one's cross and following Jesus is more important. Leaving one's family for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of Jesus is more important. And waiting around for family issues to resolve themselves before you go and follow Jesus, Jesus says, "No, you don't do that. You follow me." There's one other area in terms of honoring of parents as an adult that we need to recognize in terms of being careful about. Genesis 2:24 says, "For this cause a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Leave father and mother. And some parents have the faulty view of honoring one's parents as that's the higher priority, and their children's marriage is a lesser priority, and that's wrong. The marriage is of a greater priority than honor of one's parents. And that's reiterated by Jesus in Mark 10, Matthew 19, and by Paul in Ephesians 5. And so where there are pressures to divide the marriage by calls to loyalty to a family and to one's honoring one's parents, that is an illegitimate call of honor. Honoring one's parents as an adult. Let's think now for honoring parents in their old age. I'm going to use three words for how we honor parents in their old age: time, money, and energy. We need to be able to be ready to give our parents in their old age our time, our money, and our energy. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." I don't know what worse than an unbeliever means, but it must be pretty bad, don't you think? In Mark chapter 7 and again in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus teaches and he's getting down on the Pharisees for the way in which they try to finesse this honor father and mother business. He says, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God and in order to establish your tradition. Moses said, honor your father and your mother, but you say, if a man tells his father and mother, whatever you would have gained from me is really devoted to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father and mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition. Here's how that worked. What the Pharisee would say to his elderly parents was, well, yeah, I'd like to help you, but I actually devoted all of my stuff that I have, my fancy bank account and house and all that, I've devoted all that to God, so it would be disobedience to God if I gave you any of it. Jesus says, you got to be kidding me. You're just presenting a legal fiction in order to avoid honoring your father and your mother. Think about Jesus when he was on the cross. He's dying for the sins of the world, and he takes time while he's paying for the sins of the world to show time and energy and even financial care for his mother. John chapter 19, verse 26. He's hanging on the cross when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. He said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Hanging there in agony, Jesus uses up energy to take care of his mother. Hanging there on the cross, out of all the things he could have said, one of the things that he says, he takes the time to address care for his mother. And in saying, behold your son, he's making a financial provision so that John would take Jesus' mother into his home. Time, money, energy. Lastly, let's think about honoring the memory of our parents. Honoring the memory of our parents. How do we honor? Some of you, your parents are gone. How do you honor your parents after they've died? Well, I want to suggest that there are ways that we can honor the memory of our parents. Here's one way. Do better than they did. Do better than they did. Now, when we typically think of do better than they did as Americans, what do we think about? Do better than they did educationally. Do better than they did in terms of our career. Do better than they did in terms of material stuff. That's not what the Bible has in mind at all. Think about Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. How do you do better than they did? Do better than they did in character and godliness. Let that be the ambition of your life, to honor the memory of your parents, to do better than they did in character and godliness. It causes me sadness when I hear people who really don't want to walk with God talk with such fondness about how godly their mother was or how godly their father was. And I want to say to them, you are dishonoring your parents. You are violating the fifth commandment. Even if mother or father have been gone for years, do better than they did. Others of us have parents that are just so messed up. I mean, they just treated us horribly, and we can tell horror story after horror story. How do we honor the memory of our parents? We had all this unresolved conflict, then they up and died, and now what do we do with it? Well, let me suggest something. I want to suggest, if that's where you live, to forgive them and move on. Forgive them and move on. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 is a helpful verse. Jesus says, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. Oh, to be sure, there's all kinds of, you've forgiven your parents, and then you discover a new way in which their offense affects you, and then you need to forgive them again. It's a repeated thing. You can continue to forgive. And the word forgive means to release, to let go, to stop holding on to that thing that you say, this is will define me and it will define my joy. No, forgive them and move on. You honor the memory of your parents when you do that. Now, some parents are worthy of more honor than others, right? Here's how I view it. Some presidents are more worthy of honor than other presidents, right? Does that mean that if the president didn't walk in this room, we wouldn't all, you know, stand in honor of the office? Whether we believe or not that the president is worthy of honor, we honor the office that they hold. In the same way, our parents brought us life. We honor the office, even if they have treated us with great horror. We honor that. We honor the place that God has placed them in our lives. One last way that we can honor the memory of our parents is to pass on their memory. Pass on their memory. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 25, Joseph had the sons of Israel swear that when God brought them out of the land of Egypt, that they would take his bones with them and bury him in the land of promise. They wouldn't leave his bones in Egypt. 430 years go by. Think of that. 430 years go by. And in Exodus 13, 19, we read, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from there. And in Joshua 24, the next to last verse of Joshua is, as for the bones of Joseph, they buried him at Shechem. I was thinking about this. Is there anything in my family that I know that happened 430 years ago? No, not at all. But there was something that Joseph wanted, and think about this. Somehow that message got passed along generation after generation so that they obeyed it to the letter when time came for them to leave Egypt. One of the ways that we honor the memory of our parents is we pass on memories of them to the next generation. Finally, what I want to talk about is Jesus. We have looked at Jesus' obedience to this command in a number of ways through this message, haven't we? We have seen his obedience as a child. We saw his obedience as an adolescent. We saw his obedience in his honor of his parents as an adult. We saw his honor of his parents in departing this world as he was dying. But what I want to bring out now is Jesus' obedience in special relation to his heavenly Father. Three passages of Scripture. Luke 2:49, Jesus said to Mary and Joseph, did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Special relationship with his heavenly Father. John 5:19, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but he only sees what the Father is doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. There's a connection between Father and Son, an honoring of the Father by God the Son. I want to suggest to you that the whole point of human parental relationships is to reveal the nature of God in the relationship in the Trinity of Father and Son. And that when we honor our parents in obedience to this command, we are revealing a relationship that the Father has to the Son. This command is given to reveal the larger obedience of Christ. As we look at how we've messed up this command, we look to Jesus and we see how amazingly he has not just fulfilled it, he has surpassed it. Philippians 2, verse 8, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Question, to whom was he obedient? So that when we honor our parents, we also reveal a greater glory of the obedience of Christ. To the extent that we are broken and fractured and uncertain about this command, we find our strength, our source of help, in the one who obeyed it perfectly, our captain, our Savior, Jesus. So whether we live it out, or we don't have any idea how to live it out, or we've failed to live it out, the answer is always the same. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. And I hope, whether you're a child or an adult, or you have a parent in their old age, or your parents are gone from this earth, you will ever look to Christ. Heavenly Father, may this be the guiding passion of our lives, that we would ever look to the obedience of your Son, Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the law and surpassed it. In his name we pray. Amen.